This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As always, we discuss the monthly jobs report with our dear friend, the chief economist at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, Chad Stone. Chad, how are you today, buddy?
Thanks, Mark. How are you?
Just fine, just fine. Another not too bad jobs report, 275,000 jobs added to February 2024 payrolls. The unemployment rate edged up. But you also mentioned that the household data presents a somewhat mixed picture. Tell us about it, Chad.
First of all, to go back to the payroll data, which is a survey of employers asking how many jobs they have on their payrolls, that had some downward revisions to the previous 2 months as well. But nevertheless, there have been net gains despite the downward revision. So it's still a healthy payroll side. On the household side, what happened was that we had a rise in the number of people who are unemployed, and we have a decline, and we had a big decline in the number of people who are employed. And so that's why the unemployment rate edged up some. I would still note that the unemployment rate, it's been a little over two years below 4%, which is, you have to go back to the 1950s to find a streak like that. That's the good part of the news. The other part is whether there's some ongoing softening on the household side, but it's, as I said, the unemployment rate is still decent. The labor force participation rate and the share of the population with a job, little changed, but we're seeing some cooling in the labor market based on the household data, not so much on the payroll data.
What do you think is the cause of that? Why the household data has softened?
It may have something to do with the Fed keeping interest rates high, and their determination to get inflation down to their 2% target. There's a risk of weakening job growth. That we're not seeing the payroll side weaken, but we are seeing some stuff in the household now. Household survey is also subject to a relatively large margin of error. And so it could be that next month will be a little better, or it could be that perhaps not. But we're not yet really worried. But the longer the Fed keeps interest rates high, the more risk there is to jobs and employment. We've done very well getting inflation down without harming the economy, particularly, except the housing sector, which is a mess. But overall, the economy's been quite healthy. This is not necessarily a trend in the household data, but it is something to pay attention to.
And me, I'm always wondering about, you know, what happens during the seasons and the holiday seasons and whatnot. So this is February. We saw some bigger numbers last month. So it's not that surprising that things might be adjusted or go down a little bit in this month, correct?
On the household side, not so sure. The Bureau of Labor Statistics tries to identify the underlying trend by correcting for normal seasonal patterns. But if seasonal patterns are different, that can mess things up. So if you had a stronger or a weaker January or February than you're expecting, it could be that the seasonals are not doing a good job. That's all so technical. The bottom line is the economy is still in good shape. But the Fed is also still keeping interest rates high. And so there's a tension about how that will play out. But so far, I think we'll see. If we have a few more months that look like February on the household side, then we'll start to get worried. If the unemployment rate goes up further, then we'll start to get worried. But for right now, it's a good economy. There are months when things are a little wacky, even in a good even in a good trend. But I think it's worth paying attention. I noticed that the economist Paul Krugman, who's been quite optimistic about things, was talking about how he's getting a little bit worried about if the Fed keeps interest rates too high too long, there could be a weakening, and this may be a harbinger of that, but it might just be a blip.
Hopefully,
yes.
You've also got something here. As always, we look at our beginning point, February 2020, when the pandemic recession, so to speak, began, and how we've recovered from that. And there's been steady recovery. But I'm looking at one of your latest numbers. The African American unemployment rate was 6.1% February 2020, 5.6% February 2024, which means it has gone down 0.5 percentage point. Every other demographic, white, Hispanic, Asian, has gone up, not even a whole percentage point, but by tenths. Yep. But in this current iteration,
yeah,
February 2020, to February 2024, the African-American unemployment rate has been the only one that has gone down in that period of time.
It's still high, and it actually went up some from January to February. It was even lower in January. But yes, that's heartening, although the flip side of that is that's still a high unemployment rate. What's low for African-Americans is high. No, if the whole economy had unemployment rates of 5.6%, which is the black unemployment rate in February, we'd think we were in a recession.
Yeah, yeah.
And as we always talk about, the fact is that over time, on average, the black rate is twice the white rate. It's been a little more compressed, from the pandemic on. But anyway, so good news that it is low, but you have to consider that low for black and Hispanic unemployment rates or high for overall unemployment rates.
For anybody else, yeah. And just to give some perspective, currently the white unemployment rate is 3.4, the African American is 5.6, Hispanic 5, Asian 3. The Asian, the white rate and the Asian rate are pretty much the same now, 3.4. Yeah. But the black and Hispanic are in the fives. But nevertheless, interesting that it has gone down. And as you said, it's gone up 0.3 percentage point since last month. But we've still got a ways to go, obviously. And we'll continue to watch it. So we've also, I'm sorry, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say we have a ways to go, but we need to correct the underlying causes for higher black unemployment rates, which are history of racism, more discrimination in hiring, even in strong markets.
Yeah.
Because this is a trend that's gone on for a long time, black and Hispanic rates being substantially higher than white rates in good times and bad times. But what you started out with is say, okay, look, things look better than they have historically right now with the gaps and the fact that the black rate is quite low by historical standards.
We've had some other news in the past 24 hours about the consumer price index and inflation. Have you had a chance to look at that in relation to the jobs numbers?
Yeah, the consumer price index, if we look at the consumer price index, that the headline consumer price index, the one that gets the first stab at attention, is what's been the change over the previous 12 months from February 2023 to February 2024. And that was down to 3.1%. It had been 3.2% the year before that, the month before that in January, and it was higher than that, obviously coming down. But that's a pretty good outcome. But we also look at near-term inflation. What's the rate been in the most recent month or the most few months? And that had been coming down to rates, the near-term measure have been coming down to rates that were looking good relative to where the Fed would like to see it at 2%. But now they've edged up above that range. And it all seems to be related to a very technical matter, which is how the costs of shelter, rent, and estimates of what homeowners would have to pay in rent if they were renters rather than owners. It's a very tricky thing called owner's equivalent rent, because it's not about the value of the house. It's about if you had to rent your house. You look around, the Bureau of Labor Statistics looks around at comparable rentals and says, and says, this is what it would be if you had to. This is what you're paying for housing services in a month. And that's measured awkwardly, and it's a strange concept, but it's what's driving inflation right now. If you look at everything in the consumer price index market basket except housing, if you look at an index that pulls housing out to calculate the inflation rate, it's down where we want it to be, but the housing is distorting things.
Interesting.
So I'm very technical. It's like getting the seasonal adjustment again on the household, on the payroll side. It's a problem. Being more widely recognized that the housing measurement is problematic in the CPI.
Very interesting. And that's precisely why you're in your job and I'm not, why we have you here. But now, is it true that I guess where people most feel and see this, the grocery prices are getting better. Is that true?
Yeah. So there's an important thing to recognize when we're talking about inflation. Mm-hmm. What inflation is, the change in prices, not the level of prices. If prices go up 5% this month, the level of prices will be 5% higher next month, plus whatever they go up in that month. And so inflation has over the past few years, when we've been experiencing it, has raised the cost of things generally, but the rate at which prices are going up has come down substantially. That's inflation, and that's what we're most paying attention to and what's most important. You don't actually want prices to go down again. When prices go down noticeably, that means you're in a very weak economy and probably a recession. But if inflation goes down to where you want it to be, that's a good outcome.
See how Chad explained that, folks. There's nothing like a great teacher. I didn't have those when I was taking economics. This from CNN, Fed members and specifically Chair Jerome Powell have said they want to see more, quote, good data before they start cutting interest rates. So some are saying that this CPI report is about, it's being called treading water. It's not getting a whole lot better, not getting a whole lot worse.
Right. Now, the Fed pays some attention to the Consumer Price Index, the CPI. That's the thing that human beings pay attention to. But the Fed pays attention to a different index called the Personal Consumption Expenditure Price Index. Don't need to get into that, but that's what they pay attention to, and we'll see that come out in a week or so, and that's what the Fed will really care about. But the behavior of the CPI in February, I think the experts recognize that it's this housing measurement problem, housing services measurement problem, but for ordinary people, it's inflation went up. What's going on?
Folks, Chad Stone again, Chief Economist at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. He joins us monthly to talk about the monthly jobs reports. Always good information. Chad, thanks as always, buddy.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Ladies and gentlemen, always a pleasure to be joined by our dear friend, the Director of Intergovernmental Relations for the White House, Tom Perez, also former Secretary of Labor and former Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's always a pleasure to be with you and all your listeners.
Yes, and it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to have you. And when I say it out loud, your resume is pretty impressive, man. You've been of great service, and not
well,
in small
I've been very
and not
blessed.
In small positions either. You've worn a few hats. I wanted to go back to your Secretary of Labor hat for just a moment. 275,000 jobs in the month of February. So still ongoing recovery from what was the COVID recession, so to speak. One number that stands out to me, and obviously black unemployment is still not where we want it to be. It's better than it has been under previous presidents historically. But I discovered that from the time February 2020 to February 2024, of all the demographics, not a lot, but of all the demographics, white, African-American, Hispanic, Asian, the only unemployment rate to actually go down was black unemployment. It went down by only 0.5%. But somehow since 2020, it's gone down at 0.5, and no other demographic has gone down.
The unemployment rate for Latinos and African Americans is at a near record low. The black white wealth divide is still there, but it has narrowed significantly. When I guess the data point I tend to use is when President Biden took office, what was the unemployment rate? And then what is the unemployment rate now, both overall and then disaggregated? And the unemployment rate, I don't have it in front of me right now, but my recollection is the unemployment rate and for African-Americans was somewhere in the 9% range. And now it's, you know, more in the 5% range. The unemployment rate for Latinos was similar, and it is, you know, both of them have come down, you know, significantly. I think it's 4.9 in the Latino community right now.
So February 2020 to February 2024. And what I have in front of me says black unemployment rate was, and it's gone up and down for everyone, but at this hour, 4 years later, black unemployment was 6.1% in February 2020. And now
well, it spiked up during the pandemic.
But now it's 5.6. Yeah. But if you look at if you look at February 2020 and February 2024, white was 3, now it's 3.4. Hispanic was 4.3, now it's 5.
Oh.
It's not a lot. Asian was 2.5, now it's 3.4. But if these numbers are accurate, in that 4 years, February to February, the one that has gone down and changed the negative is in the 0.5 is African American, which I think reflects the cumulative changes up and down we've seen. It's gotten better. But even though we love it to be equal, but it just stood out to me in this latest report.
The reality is the president's investments are paying dividends. And, you know, one of the most undertold executive actions that the president took, and this is a segue to talk about both the unemployment rates and the infrastructure announcement of today. One of the most important and underrated executive actions was an action on equity. He issued an executive order on equity, and it was day one or week one. And the executive order basically pointed out a reality of America, which is that in the decades of the 50s and the 60s, when there was all sorts of massive infrastructure investment, there was no equity lens.
Right.
And as a result, if you lived in Cincinnati and you were black and they built the Brent Spence Bridge, which connects Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati, it just plowed right through the black community. In Buffalo, New York, where I grew up, the Kensington Expressway, it allowed, frankly, white folks in the suburbs to get downtown a lot faster, went right through the east side of Buffalo, which was the heart of the black community. And the reason I bring this equity executive action is because from the outset of the president's administration, he understood that we're going to be making unprecedented investments to build back better. And when he meant build back better, he was talking about build back more equitably to redress these issues. And when he's talking about creating jobs, he's talking about creating jobs in every zip code. And that's why your data is really important to show that I agree with you that we want the black and white and Latino and Asian unemployment rates to be all equal, and they're not. but we're closing that gap. And we're closing that gap not by chance, but by making very conscious investments in workforce, making sure that workforce dollars go to the city of Philadelphia. So you take the youngsters who have a proficiency in these smartphones and you turn them into computer coders. Right. And they start making middle-class jobs, and you make those sorts of investments everywhere. And that's what the executive order on equity was about. And when you look at how, you know, we just celebrated the third anniversary of the American Rescue Plan, and you look at what it enabled, what happened as a result of those investments in communities of color, it was really important to stem the tide of evictions. For instance, and really important now to have, look at, there were 13 million people enrolled in Obamacare.
Right.
When Biden took office, there's now 21 million. And the biggest increases have been in Black and brown communities. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. And those premiums are pretty darn cheap. And we know that Black and brown people have disproportionate incidence of diabetes. And $35 a month cap on insulin is a big deal. And these, and the Reconnecting Communities Initiative for me is a very big deal, because we all know the Fair Housing Act, and we all know the Title VI of the, and Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. And people understand that there were all too many places that actually had, like, Blacks need not apply or Latinos right. need not apply. People don't fully appreciate is how destructive these highway improvement projects were to Black and brown communities. That's what Reconnecting Communities is about. The president's going to be in Milwaukee today to talk about a major investment in Milwaukee and in 40 communities in over 40 states, totaling $3 billion. Mm-hmm. And it's all about, it's about correcting this inequity and reconnecting these communities. And I'm really excited about this, because we don't talk about how discrimination in how we implemented transportation projects during that prior generation had literally 60-year impact. In Milwaukee, there were like, there were 15, 20,000 houses that were destroyed so that you could run the internet, run the interstate right through downtown Milwaukee. And guess who paid the price on that? It was Black people.
In so many of our communities, I grew up in Nashville, 65 cut across the Black community, decimated Jefferson Street, mm-hmm. separated Tennessee mm-hmm. State from Fisk and Meharry.
Yep.
So we can all point to this. Folks, just to be clear, so Milwaukee is where the president is gonna actually physically be. And the construction of I-94, I-43 in Milwaukee led to the demolition of roughly 17,000 homes and 1,000 businesses right there in Milwaukee. And there's no way to recover from that in an expedient amount of time, in an expeditious amount of time. And so that's what this is about. Exactly. And to that point, as we know, Tom, when you do these types of projects, and this is not just Milwaukee, Atlanta, there's conversations about Nashville, other communities where this has happened. That, too, is going to create some jobs.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned Atlanta, because when I-75 and I-85 were constructed, you know, the downtown connector, they sliced right through the heart of a very vibrant Black community. I could go on and on. Philadelphia, they went right through Chinatown.
Right.
Toledo, Ohio. Syracuse, New York. Birmingham, Alabama. If you've got a city, you've got a problem with how these highways were built. And that's what Joe Biden's trying to do. And that, again, I come back to that equity executive action. Sometimes people look at this and say, this is just for show. No, this administration is putting its values into action. $3 billion to address decisions that were just structurally discriminatory and really destroyed communities in the name of helping people get to places faster.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't fair.
And sustain de facto segregation in that process. So that's absolutely right.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Tom Perez, folks, Director of Intergovernmental Affairs at the White House. Tom, as always, we thank you, man. This is great news, and I know we'll be hearing more about this.
Thank you, my friend, and have a great day.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.